Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Let's begin today by saying Happy New Year. Hope everybody had a safe and enjoyable New Year's Eve and New Year's holiday. Settling in for a long day of college football and sports. And JB, correct me if I'm wrong, today is the NHL Classic, is that right? And up in the Twin Cities this year. So an exciting time in this part of the country. As we begin each Saturday morning, we'd like to thank our program sponsor, Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United, and a special treat. Chris was with us a short time ago, and he's back. We learned over the years that we can never compress all of the information that we need to discuss into one year-end program, so we've extended it to two. Mr. Bogenreef, welcome back, and great to have you back in studio.
Thanks for having me back, Chris. As always, I love sponsoring a show about positive things happening in Siouxland.
Well, and there's a lot of positive things going on. We have a lot to be proud of. And Chris, I know it's, I said recently it's been over a decade. I think it's been more like 14 years. If I had to do my math, I bet it's more like 14 years
That's
now.
That's probably about right.
14, 15, somewhere in that window. And, of course, Chris Bogenreef, the original sponsor of the Grow Siouxland program on KSCJ Radio. And as a real estate executive with NAI United, deeply connected to everything that's going on in economic development, from commercial to residential to real estate transactions, and he has to stay on top of all of it. And Chris, you and I actually have similar jobs.
We do.
In the sense that we're marketing our Siouxland Tri-State community to a national and international audience.
Right. You're probably a little more big picture and industrial focused, job growth focused, and I'm just a little more transaction focused and deep into the weeds on these deals. But very similar.
And I would say we're truly at an incredible time in this community.
We really are.
You've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it a long time. I've never seen it quite like this.
Yeah, the growth has been really good for a long time. You know, we had a blip in 08 recession. Led to 09. But all that happened in 09 was everybody just stood on the sideline. It wasn't like anybody was really hurting.
We kind of held our breath.
Yeah, everybody held their breath for a year. And then 2010 was great, and it hasn't been, there hasn't been a downturn since.
So if memory serves, and this is going back over a decade, but in 2008, the economic powers that be retroactively declared a recession that began in the fourth quarter of 2007. So we'd already been in it for a year when they announced it, and that's how they announced those things. It's
right.
Two consecutive quarters of negative growth or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I didn't study econ. But
and the funny thing on this last, when COVID started and we had a true recession,
yep,
it was when I heard the news that that recession truly was 8 weeks long. It was unbelievable because that's exactly how many weeks our telephone stopped ringing at the office. It was 8 weeks. The phone stopped ringing, and then everything went back to normal.
Isn't that something? And as we talked about on the previous show, one of the things that we're really fortunate to have is our agribusiness and food processing-based economy, because people have to continue to eat. And so while we were hurt, and I don't want to minimize the impact of any recession, it was minimized and mitigated because of our food processing and agribusiness background relative to other parts of the country. And you talked about, you know, the stability that we see in this part of the country is a reason to invest in real estate, when other parts of the country may see meteoric growth year over year, annual appreciation, but they also have high risk with that.
Yeah, there's boom and bust cycles in those high growth markets. And here we just don't see that. We never do. We have very slow appreciation, but very stable, very steady.
So and it's very reliable.
Very reliable. Yeah.
And so a great place to invest, and that's where I say you and I have similar jobs, and that you're marketing that to a national and international audience. I'm doing the same thing, traveling and trying to encourage people to locate in the Siouxland Tri-State Metro or make a decision to expand in the Siouxland Tri-State Metro. And Chris, let's start here. It's been a year since we've had a chance to talk about this. The first Monday of March, Site Selection Magazine came out with their annual rankings, and Siouxland, for the ninth time in 14 years, ranked number one in the nation for economic development in communities under 200,000 people. Did you ever think that we'd be on the precipice of earning that recognition 10 times?
No, never. I didn't think any community could last that long when you're competing with the entire United States in cities 200,000 or less. It really does show the stability of this market and the depth of it to be able to do that every year.
And of course, that's news from March of 2021, reflecting calendar year 2020. And as we are speaking today, Site Selection is tabulating information on calendar year 2021. And in March of 22, they will come out with new rankings. We have no idea how Siouxland fared in a COVID environment. We don't know how the rest of the country fared. We'll have to wait till March to see how we did. But you called to my attention some significant news in November, just a little over a month ago.
Yeah, another ranking that puts us on the map. But Smart Asset ranks manufacturing cities the best place to manufacture, and Sioux City actually landed number fourth on the list in the entire United States. So this, if you looked at a map of all these states that ranked the highest, it's basically a line from South Dakota down to Georgia. So you got the Midwest, and then the Southeast, you got Tennessee, you know, those where all the car manufacturers are building plants.
Absolutely. They call it the milk run. It runs from Detroit all the way down into the Southeast.
Yeah, because actually that is our population center of the United States, and that's why a lot of those plants are locating there. But if you draw a line from South Dakota to Georgia, that's the best, hottest places to manufacture. And just the top on that list, Wausau, Wisconsin was number one, Kalamazoo, Portage, Michigan, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and then Sioux City. So that's pretty impressive.
I think that's fantastic, and thank you for sharing that with us. Smartasset.com, you can find that information. It's under the heading Places to Work in Manufacturing. And not only did we crack the top 10, here it says Sioux City, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, ranked number four in the nation. And that's something that we can all take a lot of pride in. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 on your FM dial, where our guest today is the founder and the original sponsor of the Grow Siouxland radio program, Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. And, you know, Chris, it's easy to look at the big picture and to say, hey, we rank great here and we rank great there. But, you know, it takes real projects and real decisions for people to make decisions to continue to grow and expand. And I know we had some of that in this market this year.
Yeah, let's look at some of these specific projects that allowed us to have the ranking with Site Selection Magazine. So a new one that obviously you know and we're involved with that was announced recently was AGP's expansion down in Sergeant Bluff. $70 million expansion. Probably not a lot, huge number of jobs, but we can't afford that right now anyway. We need capital-intensive projects. That's what we can handle.
And Chris, you are exactly right. Right now, AGP had the perfect project. And so, tip of the cap to those folks, because huge capital investment at $70 million, bringing the total that AGP has invested in their Port Neal facility just outside of Sergeant Bluff to nearly $200 million since 2014. Staggering amount of money. But they keep making the decision to invest locally. We could not be more grateful to the local leadership of AGP and their corporate leadership down in Omaha. But only 2 to 4 jobs announced with that project, which, as you summarized perfectly,
that's what we need.
We're in a workforce crisis. We can't fill the jobs that we have right now. And quite honestly, my job has changed dramatically in the last 24 to 36 months because we're not recruiting massive employers right now because we can't fill the jobs we have.
Right.
And it is creating a real issue. And as you know, an emphasis on robotics and automation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's forcing, just like the restaurant industry during COVID got forced to adopt technology, same thing's happening in the food processing world. They're being forced to adopt new technologies.
And they don't have a choice, right? They have to stay competitive, and you can continue to increase the price for labor, which they have done exponentially the last 12 months, and which we're happy to see, because as economic developers, what do we want to see?
You want to see higher wages,
wage
growth. We want
to see the economy develop, and people have discretionary income, yeah. So they can
now
spend
you can
money.
Work in a drive-thru for $15 an hour. I mean, that's the minimum.
But at some point, the cost of labor forces goods and services to no longer be competitively priced, which forces what? Automation. And
yep,
so,
right.
Of course, inflation, but also automation. And mm-hmm. So to keep prices competitive, and because there is no labor, we're seeing these major employers in food processing and, quite honestly, in all manufacturing start to make a heavy mm-hmm. reliance and play for automation. You're listening to Grow Siouxland. We're visiting with Chris Bogenrief of NAI United, and we'll be back with Chris after a short commercial break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. NAI United, the largest and highest producing commercial real estate firm in Siouxland. Speak with Nate Connolly, Bo Bronger, Aaron Hoekstra, Colonel Craig, or Chris Bogenrief. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you today. Go to NAIUnited.com and learn more. NAI United, uniquely positioned to serve your needs.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. On behalf of our producer, Mr. Justin Barker, we'd like to thank you for listening in. And we'd also like to thank our program sponsor, Mr. Chris Bogenrief of NAI United, who also happens to be our guest. As we said at the top of the hour, thank you for joining us. Happy New Year. We hope that you and your loved ones have enjoyed the holiday season. It's winding to a close very, very quickly. Obviously, lots of college football to enjoy today. Make it a great day. But we're going to kick off the last half of our program talking about some of the exciting things that are taking place in the metro. And Chris, one of the things that we've historically done with these year-end programs with you as our guest is to talk about what's going on in the communities that comprise the tri-state. Let's start with North Sioux City, because they had a big announcement recently.
They did. Their city council, in conjunction with Stephen Jones, who actually owns the Graham Airfield, which was the first airstrip in the state of South Dakota, surprisingly. And so he controls the Graham Airfield, and he optioned up 440 acres over there, because Flynn Industrial Park is pretty much built out, sold out. So they, and you know how North Sioux is kind of landlocked by two rivers. It's really hard to expand there. So the city's actually buying 440 acres for new industrial development, some workforce housing. They're going to be moving the levee farther to the north to protect this new expanded ground. So I did hear from that the governor's office actually said they think this 440 acres could be gone in the next 5 years, the way things are going right now, in with leads and activity and prospects. So that's kind of an exciting thing on the north end of town for future growth, because I think they are, you look at places like, I was just in Nashville, and they told me that 40% of the cranes in the United States are in Nashville and Austin.
And what a stunning statistic.
Yeah, what's in common there? They're in no income tax states. Texas, Tennessee, I think they're one of seven. There's something to that.
Florida is one of them.
So, South Dakota. And Florida, yep.
I think Wyoming.
Yep, you're right. So if Austin and Nashville have all this incredible growth, I think South Dakota should be able to get a little bit of that.
Well, and we do have some good news about South Dakota. As you shared with me recently, Best Places in South Dakota came out with some rankings just recently, and what can you share with us?
Well, Dakota Dunes was ranked number one place to live in the whole state of South Dakota.
How about that? Number one is Dakota Dunes. Number two is Brandon. Number three is Vermilion. Number four is Brookings. Number five is Sioux Falls. So
really?
Let's go in reverse order. Fifth is Sioux Falls. Fourth is Brookings. Third is Vermilion. Second is Brandon. And
number
as you
one,
said,
Dakota Dunes.
So lots of good things going on in North Sioux City and Dakota Dunes. Let's jump over to South Sioux City. South Sioux City continues to have a lot of activity, lots of food processing taking place, and still land available.
Yes, they've got that Roth Industrial Park, which sits right adjacent to Tyson's flagship beef plant. And I would say that South Sioux City and Dakota City there with... They're probably one of the most progressive economic development for food processing that I've seen. With some of these new projects they're working on with the biomass and the gasifiers and the and now this biodiesel that would actually use animal fat from Tyson. They're kind of on the cutting edge of these new ideas.
Well, and let's not forget this. There's a new term that I've just learned in the last probably 45 days. Meatflation. Have you seen that in the press yet? It's a remarkable new term.
Had not
and they're
heard
talking
that.
About the premium that people are going to be required to pay for meat going forward. I'd never heard of it. I thought this is the most interesting word I've seen in a long time. And Chris, you and I talked about it's inflation, but you know the statistics as well as anybody. What does it say?
Well, meatflation. Worsens as prices rise as fastest rate in 30 years
so
in
it's
October.
It's what you and I were talking about earlier. Inflation is everywhere. We haven't seen it in 30 years. It's been three decades since we've seen these kinds of consumer price index increases, and meat is one of those industries getting hit really, really hard.
You know, everybody around here is used to growing up meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes. Every single meal. You know what? I think that could end up changing over the next few years. Do we really need meat for every single meal? We got to start looking at some protein alternatives, I think. But because we're going to be forced to. So
as you and I discussed this, there was an article recently, a column that was entitled, quote, Meatflation, the new buzzword to describe rising food prices. And so we're seeing that, and it does have a dramatic impact on the Siouxland Tri-State because we are a food processing hub.
Oh, yeah.
And as we continue to see these prices rise, I know this, you know this, Justin knows this from the conversations that we have with business executives throughout the Tri-State. They're doing everything they can to make sure that their products, the products that they produce, are competitively priced so that they can sell them, so they can keep their lines moving, so they can keep their people employed. And while we all cheer increasing wages, we have to be cautious about what that means to the producers as well. Great for employees, we understand that, but it also has a very real impact on employers.
Mm-hmm. And realistically, that's why companies like Tyson are putting some investment into alternative protein products too, in plant-based food. So you'll see more of that, but yeah, we're poised.
Well, we'll see if a year from now we're still talking about this new term, meatflation. And folks, I know you think I'm joking. Google it. Meatflation is a new buzzword in the industry. As we jump from South Sioux, let's jump over to Sergeant Bluff. And you touched upon the big announcement at Port Neal with AGP. Very, very positive. Mm-hmm. But they're seeing some residential growth as well.
They are. Sergeant Bluff is growing. Most of the small communities surrounding Sioux City are doing pretty well on residential growth. So you're seeing new residential developments down there. They have a new Dogwood Industrial Park down there to handle some commercial expansion. I have heard this people. I don't know if it's still the case, but I know Sergeant Bluff and Dakota Valley school districts are probably a couple of the most well-funded school districts in each respective state just because of the huge tax base. Small population, huge industrial tax base for those two communities. And that bodes well for Sergeant Bluff and the North Sioux City, Dakota Dunes.
Certainly does, but it also takes a toll on the Sioux City Community School District and the city of Sioux City, which leads a lot of those economic development industrial projects, but then doesn't see the revenue in their school district, making the Sioux City Community School District, in contrast to some of the others, one of the most property poor school districts in the entire state of Iowa. And so that's something that's obviously going to have to be addressed. And as we talk about Sioux City, Sioux City has seen some real growth. I know that you talked about in one of your recent programs just the number of hotel rooms that are being used for youth sports. It's unprecedented.
Oh, yeah. Sioux City was behind by 20 years with substandard hotels and apartments. But all these new arenas and youth sports complexes are driving a lot of growth. And it's making outside investors more comfortable building new hotels here. So, yeah, it's a great phenomenon. I think we've just been behind for 20 years, and we're finally catching up with some of these amenities.
Chris, I can't believe it, but two shows isn't even enough to contain all our dialogue and conversation, so we're going to have to start bringing you in around the 4th of July. But true story, I was asked to find hotel rooms for an NCAA champion wrestler from the 80s and an NCAA champion wrestler from the 2000s, father-son team from Iowa State University, and couldn't find him a hotel room. Had to work my tail off to find him a hotel room when they were coming into town.
Why didn't you put him up in your house?
To a wrestling camp this summer. I got a full house. I think you know that. But what a great problem to have. Never thought we'd see it. Especially with all these hotels being constructed. Yeah. People are like, it's too much, it's too much, it's too much. And lo and behold, it doesn't seem to be the case.
Right, right. And really, it did take out a few substandard hotels that we had that is good for the community.
Absolutely right. Final question I have for you, and I know you focus on commercial and real estate per se, land, more than residential, but how important is housing growth in the metro?
That's the only way we can support all this industrial expansion. We have to have housing growth, and we're seeing that. Not enough. We're not seeing enough. And part of that is we're not building enough single-family homes, so it's forcing people into these apartment projects that have waiting lists. So we really need both. We need more apartments, but we need a lot more single-family housing and a lot more affordable single-family housing.
So it's a good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless. So we're going to move him to the 4th of July so that we don't have to pack a year in at the end of the year. And
good idea.
Hopefully you're going to have good news on the 4th.
We will.
And hey, Happy New Year to you and your family.
Same to you.
Thank you for your many years of sponsoring this program. I hope we'll continue into 2022.
We will.
We put him on the spot, JB. He's got to say
it's
yes.
It's done.
So on behalf of Justin Barker and the family at Powell Broadcasting, as well as our sponsor at Grow Siouxland, Mr. Chris Bogenreef, I'm Chris McGowan saying thank you. Make it a great 2022.